This sounds was recorded on the 15th of February, 1964, medium Leslie Flint.
What time is Lisa coming?
Half past 11. Well, at least that's the time I got. Maybe to get her about 11. Well, it varies.
Did you get your curtain material at Whitehead?
Yes.
Some marvellous things.
They got some lovely materials. You know, honestly, we looked there and we saw several we liked very much because they varied in price. But Graham said, well, let's just go to John Lewis's just to see, in case we see something we like there. Well, frankly, I know John Lewis's used to be fabulous materials. They still, still is, I suppose, really, but to me, they hadn't got anything as interesting as Whiteley's, or as well displayed as Whiteley's. The idea of that really is to... But of course, our little cinema, the screen there, is completely inadequate for showing slides and transparencies, because the slides are much bigger than 16 or 8 millimeter film, and they enlarge up so much more because of the projector lens. They're always made for showing very big pictures. So we decided to paint that wall, and then when we painted that, we thought the rest of the room looked dowdy against the whiteness of the wall. So then I said, well, let's have some curtains. And I thought, well, I don't know, might as well do the rest of the room. I think it looks nice.
It's an unusual idea to have a curtain on a wall that doesn't have a window behind it. It's unusual to have a wall without having a curtain behind it. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Nice
Vicky.
To see you.
Is it? That's nice.
How are you, Gwendolyn?
Oh, I'm
happy
good.
Birthday.
Thank you.
That was yesterday.
Oh, well, don't mind. Better late than never.
What kind of a day did you have being as if it was your birthday? Working?
Yes.
Never mind. I enjoyed it. You got the day off today.
Oh, yes.
Did you get any cards?
Oh, yes. I was it 19 or 20 to Valentine's.
Who came to the Valentine's?
Well, I know who they came from.
What do you mean?
I'm not so dim that I can't recognise a disguised handwriting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Want me?
Oh, my dear.
Hello.
Good morning. I've got a very busy morning because of you.
Yes, I know. I know that.
Well, it's perfectly all right. I don't mind at all.
Good.
Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yes,
to you?
Very well.
Good. Mm. I've been looking forward very much to this, you know. Yes. Very much indeed.
Mm.
Being able to come, particularly since it is so close to your birthday. I suppose if it had been possible, you would have had it yesterday.
Yes, I suppose I would.
But it doesn't matter, you have got it today. Well, I don't quite know what to talk about today.
Well,
I suppose there are many things I could talk about, but what were you going to say? You were going to ask me some question.
Well,
Well, I have about three things that...
Three?
Well, yes, very short ones.
The answers may be long, but still, the answers may be long, even if the questions are short.
No, and I'll tell you what they all are. There's Bruno, is he all right?
Of course he's all right.
Also, Dave is concerned about his stepson in Australia. And also, I have been over to the Doolers, played your tapes, and I'm taking the tapes over to a large discussion group next month. Now, can you follow on from there?
Oh, three questions. Well, in the first place, obviously, Bruno is all right. I mean, he has got what he wanted. He should be happy. I think he is, and I think we have done our share, you know. Each one of us have contributed towards helping him, and now it is for him to make his own way. Now he is alone, you know, on his own, in a sense, and although he will always have your friendship and any help that you can give, all of you, but it is good that he has to stand for himself on his two feet, you know. I think he will be happier too. I think that is as it should be, you know. So that is all right. Mm-hmm. I don't think that is any problem. In regard to the other problem, I don't think there's any point in going to see someone who is shorter to come here, who I think obviously will be much happier and better here, and I don't see that there is any reason to go. Unless, of course, he is asked to go, personally asked to go, and then if he can make the attempt to go, that is a different matter. But I don't think it is necessary or essential. That is what I feel about that. In regard to the other question, well, that is extremely nice to know that you are having the opportunity to play the recordings to people. Of course, you must expect to have some discussion for and against, you know. I suppose it will be to be expected, you know, that you will have some sort of argument. People will not necessarily accept something like this without at first sort of feeling uncertain and inclined to discard it, you know.
Yes, I
but
know
I think that. It will be accepted, all right, by majority of people. How did you arrange that? Because I did not know about it.
No, well, I went over to the Doolays last week and played quite a few of your tapes. The president of the Richmond Church and the librarian, they were there, and they said as they had a discussion group down for next month, if they gave it out, would I be prepared to take some of my tapes over, you see, to be played, and they could discuss that.
That's a very good idea, but I should be selective in the tapes that you take.
Mm-hmm.
Those in which I think might be more for general purposes, you know, the things that we discussed that would be of interest and help to the majority of people. They are the ones to choose. The personal ones, obviously, more personal ones would be pointless and useless. Besides, I don't think it would be good.
Oh, I realise that. I thought of taking the one where you were discussing group sittings and things like that, things that were of benefit and help to.
Of course, that is the sort of thing that will be instructive. I'm glad it is a group of people who have some knowledge of the subject. I was rather thinking it may be that they would be people who know nothing about it or very little. Well, in that case, it will not be so difficult.
In any case, I want to ask your permission first before I talk.
Oh, why not? After all, we don't want to keep this to ourselves. It is for everybody. And I want you to do this. I want you to spread it. I don't want you to have to keep it to yourself. There are many people who are very anxious for in help and guidance and truth. Especially those who perhaps have recently lost someone, it will be a great comfort to them. We must always consider that what we are doing is not just for ourselves, it is for everybody, to help all people. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly. Go on.
What is it you think? I think there is something in your mind.
Well, I don't know. I wondered whether you could give me another tape to play to them. I don't know what they're likely to discuss, but I suppose something on general lines would be all right.
Oh, I see. In other words, you think it would be a good idea if today we discuss something that would be acceptable and interesting for everybody.
That's right.
Good. Mm-hmm. Let us see, what can we talk about? Mm-hmm. So many things, so. But then when one thinks, what, you know? There is an opinion or idea among many people, particularly those who have some knowledge of this subject, that we on this side, because of our constant coming to your earth, are necessarily conscious of everything that goes on and around people that we are interested in. This is true in a way, but not altogether true in every instance. What I try to convey here is there are some people who, because they are spiritualists or because they are people who have knowledge of the subject, think that they have always people who are taking personal interest in their personal affairs. This is not always so. By that what I am trying to mean is there are occasions when we are out of touch. We are not necessarily always conscious of everything that is going on and around an individual or people. Often people say, I will leave it to my guides, or I will leave it to my friends on the other side to work out for me. This is only partly true. In the first instance, we may be conscious of what is concerning a person or worrying a person, and in consequence, if it is in our power to do it, we will endeavor to assist and to pave the way to make things better, you know. But there is the realization we have that although it is good for us to help where possible, sometimes it is not good, and in consequence we do not help. Or perhaps we may help, but at the same time we realize that the individual concerned on earth has to work out for himself or herself their own solution. Because if we were always to be around, working out for everybody their lives, it would be very bad. People must realize that they are placed on earth for a definite purpose, to gain knowledge, to gain experience, to be tested. And it often is, as you know, that it is the hard things or the sad things sometimes or the difficult things that try one most, but at the same time from them we learn lessons which are necessary and essential to our development and our unfoldment as individuals. If we were always to be there, assisting and guiding, as some people like to think we are, the individual would not be really helped. In fact, they would, in a sense, be held back. Because if we were to do too much, and sometimes we deliberately do not do things which perhaps the people concerned expect us to do or think we may be able to do, because we know only too well that each individual is given the free will to choose for themselves. I know that there are many incidents and circumstances that arise in which the person has no choice. They are victims, if you like, of circumstances beyond their control. But nevertheless, it may well be that it is essential that they should be tested, that they should be tried, because only then can you hope to build character, and only by these things can you hope to gain experience and knowledge. So we have to be very careful in what way we help people, in what situation we may perhaps do this or do that, I mean, for instance, I know that I have said myself to you, I could have... Or I'm doing this, or I'm hoping to do that. That is all perfectly true, but it depends on the ultimate good that may ensue from the actions taken, as to whether we can help or whether we should help. Now, in some instances, it would not be good for me or good for one of us here to assist or to help a person in a certain way with a certain problem. Perhaps it would be very detrimental, because we may divert, you might say, the course which is so necessary to that person's experience. To take away an experience from a person, no matter if it is an unpleasant one, may be retarding their ultimate good or ultimate progress. You see, often people on earth expect us to do so much. Often they ask us to help them with this or with that. But the individual thing they desire may not necessarily be good for them, even assuming that it were to come to pass. And so we have to be very tactful, we have to be very careful what we commit ourselves to, as to what we shall do. It would never do for us always to be around and assisting people. It would be very bad for us, and it would be very bad for the people on earth. So, although we may act as we do in the capacity of guides and helpers, at the same time, we must not be expected by people on earth always to be solving their problems, always to be assisting them, or to be helping them in some way or other. Indeed, if that were the attitude of mind or the mentality of the individual on earth, it would be better if they did not know of this realization, this truth, because it would be taking away a great extent their own ability to make an effort to do things for themselves, to work out indeed their own salvation. After all, the man is placed in the world to experience many things from which he can evolve. And as you should well know, it is often the unhappy experiences, the unpleasant, if you like, the sad experiences from which we learn most. If life were always to be as perhaps one thinks one would like it to be when on earth, it would not be good. You would soon become bored, you would soon become fed up with being able to have all the things you wanted and do all the things you think you would like to do. It would not bring happiness, not real happiness, and indeed you would probably grow up and develop into a very nasty person, and in consequence you would not be helped at all. You would not be a person who had made any progress, in which would necessitate possibly coming back again and again to earth. And so it is that though we may lead you, though we may guide you, though we may assist you, we do not interfere with free will. For instance, a situation may arise in which you feel that you could do so much better if another person associated with you were, shall we say, to change their attitude of mind, or perhaps move away from the condition in which you yourself are placed. Now this would be a difficult problem, because though we may, and we have done, try to influence the individual concerned, the other individual, mentally to change and perhaps become a nicer person, you see, we can influence people, and we do influence people, so that they may do the right thing, but we cannot force anyone to do anything against their will. And if, shall we say, you as an individual wanted some advancement in some way that was good for you, but it would be at the disadvantage of another person, we would of course not attempt to assist or to help or to interfere in any way. We will only serve, we will only work where there is harmony, where there is love, where there is peace, and we will strive at all times to assist individuals to progress in the sense that we know they should progress in the right way. We will never do anything that could be in any way detrimental. And of course we know that we do try desperately to help in many ways, where there is unhappiness, where there is strife, where there is ill will. We try to change people's nature. We try to change people's way of thought. But it doesn't mean to say because we attempt to do these things that we can necessarily achieve it. A great deal must also be done by the individual. It is useless for people to come to us and say, oh, I am in such a state about so-and-so, can you do something about it? That is all very well. Maybe we can do something about it. But unless the individual concerned is prepared to make some effort themselves, and you know the extraordinary things that people do expect us to do, sometimes so unreasonable, sometimes it is, when analyzed, basically very selfish, sometimes very material, and there is no spiritual significance, no spiritual basis. You see, if we are asked to do things that has no spiritual significance and no spiritual basis, fundamentally, deep down, then it is, in a sense, wrong to ask us, and it is wrong to expect us to do anything. Whenever we attempt to do anything for anyone, there is always a good reason, and it is invariably, basically, a spiritual one. The individual concerned on earth may not even recognize it at the time. But when we bring about changes, or we do something that is an asset or an assistance to an individual, it is not the immediate result that matters to us. Not even sometimes immediate happiness that may ensue for the person, but the ultimate good that may come, not only to that one person possibly, but to many others associated with him or her. You see, it is not possible for people on your side to realize. There are, to some extent, limitations, and yet, in a sense, one could also say, where the power of the Spirit is concerned, there are no limitations. But what I want people to understand and realize is that it is wrong of them to take it for granted, as often they do, that when they are in some jam or some difficult position, that their guides or their friends on this side will assist them out of it. Perhaps, who knows? You may be put in a position for that very purpose, to learn and gain experience. And to get out of what you call that jam is not the responsibility, or even should not be expected, of the individual, that the guides or the friends will get them out of it. It may well be that they have been placed in that position for a purpose, so that they will learn experience from it, and they themselves must find the path and the way out. And possibly in the finding the way and the path out, they will be giving themselves knowledge and experience which is necessary and beneficial to their welfare. There is a very misunderstood, great misconception among spiritualists. Because they are spiritualists, and because they know they have guides or helpers, they assume, they think, that their guides will do this, or their helpers will do that. It is not so, because although we do help people, and it is our job and our task and our happiness to help people, we must not be looked upon as just people that can be called upon in an emergency to help you when you are in some trouble. We come and help you automatically. We don't have to be asked. It isn't necessary to come to us and say, oh, what should I do about this? What do you think I should do about that? It is perhaps a comfort to come and ask those things, and we understand them, and we sympathize. But we who come to you, though we do not know everything that goes on, invariably, if we are closely linked with you, we are conscious of your needs, we are conscious of what is good for you, and automatically, we help you as best we can, but not necessarily can we always do the things that you may expect us to do. In the past, various suggestions have been made to me that I should help here or I should help there. And always I have tried to answer and I've tried to help as best I could. In some things it appears, at least for the time, that there has been some failure. But it may be that it is good for the time being, that it may seem to fail. When the time comes, when it is the right time, and perhaps, who knows, when the individual has earned it, then it will come, not before. And don't forget, with all the help that we may give, it still depends on the individual. We can do little or nothing without the individual's cooperation, without the individual's making the attempt, without the individual themselves making some effort towards the goal that has been set. There are many, many aspects of this, but what I want everyone to understand is, though we come with love, though we come with all the goodwill to help, to guide and uplift, we must not necessarily always be considered to be there just at the convenience of the individual to solve perhaps some ordinary mundane problem which they should be adult enough and grown enough, and certainly if they haven't grown and become adult enough to solve themselves, they should realize it is because they need the experience so that in time they will be able to see clearly and in the future be able to solve certain problems in themselves. Some problems it is always best for the individual to solve. It is not for other people to do. It is for the person themselves. For it is essential that every individual should realize that the life of Earth is a testing ground. It is a place in which you are put for a purpose, to gain knowledge, to gain experience. And it is only, as you should know only too well, through sadness and suffering that we learn most of life's lessons. If life were to be simple, as some people wish it were, if life would be uncomplicated, as people often desire it to be, it would be a dull, miserable existence in which one would learn nothing. To have the silver spoon in the mouth is not a blessing, it is a curse. Yet always we hear people say, oh, if only I could do this, if only I had the money for that, and so on. Money is important, I know that, but money is by no means the most important thing. It is, in a sense, the least important. If one has the will within oneself to serve humanity, to learn from life's lessons, and to take those lessons as they should be taken, with the realization that they are good for one, and that by facing the problems of life and fighting the battles, surely it is a greater joy and a greater happiness to be able to look back and say, I did that, I fought that battle, I won that battle, I did it in the right way, and I learned by my experience. It is better, much, much better, to realize that you yourselves, though blessed by many souls from this side, guiding and helping you, doing what they can for you, it still is your battle, it is still your fight, and to have won it means that you have truly achieved on your own merit. It is important, I think, that spiritualists should realize, as so many seem to go to mediums with the idea of messages, of receiving guidance on certain material problems. There is far too much of it. It should be called materialism, not spiritualism. If we are talking about spiritualism, then it should be on a spiritual level. It should be on a spiritual plane by which we can all aspire, by which we can all climb to the heights. We must all learn from these things, but we must not expect always that we must be helped. We may be guided, we may be led, but we must still fight our own battles, whether it is on your side or on this. I am still learning, I am still experiencing, and in a sense I am still fighting, but I know that when I achieve something of my own merit, there is greater happiness for me and for all concerned. I am guided and helped as I endeavor to help and guide others on your side, but we must all stand firmly on our own feet and face the future with faith and with confidence, and with the sure knowledge that though we are guided, our battles are our own. But we don't exactly fight them alone. We are helped to some extent, But still the battle fundamentally is ours. I think it is important for spiritualists particularly to realize this, and that not to depend too much on the guides, not to depend too much on the help that must be given from this side, the help that is given willingly and with love, but to know at the same time that if we achieve it of ourselves, that is the great victory. That is the full realization of the meaning of experience. It is the full meaning of learning how to evolve of oneself. It is very difficult for people to understand this, I think, but it is very important. By all means, look to us for guidance and help, but at the same time, make sure that the questions you ask us in regard to guidance and help are of a spiritual nature, not always of a material nature. Sometimes we get very weary with all these questions that people ask us. Shall I do this? Shall I do that? Do you think I should sell my business? Do you think that I should invest in this? Do you think I should win the pools? All the different things that people ask us. Of course, we try to answer in a way, because we love each and every one. We want everyone to be happy. We want everyone to be able to feel that life has much that is good to offer. But at the same time, if you do not always have what you would like, perhaps it is a better thing. I think it is often that way, best. Those who sometimes seem to have least often have most, and those who seem to have most often have nothing. I think people must begin to see things in their true light and have balance and realize it is the things of the spirit that cannot pass away, not the things of the material. That is my little talk for today. I must go now. But all my love and blessing to you, a very happy birthday that has just gone, a very happy St. Valentine's Day that has just gone, and a very happy day today. Anyway, I must go. Goodbye. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Mickey.
You want to eat a bit of
it? Say love to Mummy, won't you?
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, love.
Quiet telling off in a gentle way, isn't it?
Eh?
It was almost a quiet telling off in a gentle way. Not necessarily to you as a person. This constant wanting messages and wanting help, I suppose, is very right.